Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
Change won't come in your family by changing families. Change won't come in you by a self-help book or a few moments with a counselor. Those things may be good and beneficial at times, but long-lasting change only comes through the course of God's plan. And the course of God's plan only comes because His people pray. And so this morning, I just want to show you something that I saw in the Scripture, and I thought, you know, I need to just kind of bring that to people's attention. I want our church to be known as a church and a place of prayer, a place where people can be prayed for and where changes can take place in our lives, in our city, in our nation, because God's people pray. And this morning we're going to look in the book of Daniel at a man named Daniel. Daniel, of course, we think of Daniel as the guy that was in the lion's den. That's one of the first things. But you know, Daniel was actually a man who was very impressive in all aspects of his life. He was a man of great integrity. He was a man of high principle, a man of deep convictions. But one of the greatest things that made Daniel all of these things is that Daniel was a man of prayer. He was powerful in prayer. He was not intimidated. He didn't care who was listening. Daniel was a man of prayer who was passionate when he prayed. He was so passionate, he had to open the windows. The anointing got so strong as he prayed. He opened the windows and he just prayed until he heard from heaven. And so this morning, we're going to read this story, and it gives some details about how we understand this man's life. And we're going to find some facts in this passage that we're going to read centers around three facts that we are going to come to understand. Okay, so Daniel chapter 10, verse 1 says this: "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. And the message was," notice this, "the message was true, but the appointed time was long. And he understood the message and had understanding of the vision." Verse 2, "And in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Father, take your word this morning, challenge it to our hearts, speak to us, and change our life by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you three facts about what you saw in this passage we read in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel receives a word from God. He's a man of prayer. He receives a message from the Lord. And here's the first fact that you have to understand. Number one, the message is true. The message is true. It is real. God speaks to Daniel. He gives him a message. "This is my will," God says. He speaks it to Daniel. And here is our natural tendency. We get a message from God, and what do we usually do? Is this from God or is this from me? Is this the right thing that I'm supposed to do? Is this the wrong thing that I'm supposed to do? What are we doing? We're weighing out, is this true or is this not true? In this passage, we find that Daniel says that the message was true. It was affirmed. We know this is God's will. The second thing that you see is that the time was long. The time was long. Now, this is where we get confused sometimes. It's because as we pray and we hear God speak and we know it is God speaking to us, we say this: well, if it's true and if God is speaking, then it should just go ahead and happen. It should have no hindrance. It should just take place like today, tomorrow. It should just go on. It should just play out, and I don't even have to think about it. I don't even have to worry about it or be concerned with it. The thing is true, but the time is long. And that was what came to Daniel. "I'm speaking you my will, Daniel, But I want you to know the time is going to be long. God's saying, this is what I want to do, Daniel, in your life. This is what I want to do. And I'm going to do it, God says, but it is going to take a long time to get done. So Daniel knows it's true, but he understands that it would happen after a long period of time. And the third fact that you have to see in this passage in order to understand the principles I'm going to give you in just a moment is that it was not just truth, and it didn't just have to take place over a long period of time, but the fact that the fulfillment would not come easily was a true fact. Look at verse 2. And I, Daniel, I mourned for 3 full weeks. That word mourning means to have deep emotional anguish, to live in a state of struggle. Think about your life. Are there things that you have struggled with for a long time? Now, I'm not talking about even sin. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's a challenge in your life that started from when you were just a child. Maybe it's an environment that you set in that has caused habits in your life and it's been difficult. Maybe those things that you know God has spoken that He free you from or deliver you from, and He said it may take a while and you still are struggling against, you're still pressing because Daniel said, I mourn. God's telling you something today that's true. God wants to tell us something that may take a while, but He also wants you to be understood about this fact that when you pray, there may be a struggle for His truth to come about. The challenge may be real in your life. I know in my own life, as God speaks to me, and I know His Word, and I know His will for my life, and I continue to pray over long periods of time, there is deep emotional struggle that I have to deal with. I have to keep myself in check. So this morning, I want you to hold those thoughts as the backdrop of some principles that I want to give you. And let me make this statement first, because this is the most important statement that I want to make to you this morning. And that is this. Prayer is how we engage heaven in order to create opportunities here on earth. I want you to take a look at that. Prayer is how we engage heaven to create opportunities here on earth. And that's why Jesus, in teaching His disciples to pray, included this. He said, yet not my will, but what? But yours be done. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And that's what gets us. Because what happens is we begin to question and we ask this question. God, if it's your will, then why should I have to be a part of trying to see it fulfilled here? If it's what you want to do, God, why don't you just do it? Why doesn't it just happen on earth? And Jesus says, look, you are a part. I have set you here for a purpose, and I want you to pray my will through to the opportunity that you create here. That's what prayer does. Now, I want you to understand something. As I said last week, we're reading from the past or from the future to the past. It's that hindsight bias that I told you about last week. We look at this story and we see what happened because we know what happens later. But Daniel lived this in real time. He knows God wants to do something. He knows that he steps in to try to fulfill and see what God is going to do in his life. He sees a few things happen. But those things occur over a long period of time. And actually what happens is the fulfillment of Daniel chapter 10 takes place a long time after Daniel. Because Daniel prays a prayer that doesn't just affect his life, but generations following him. Friends, can I just tell you this, that if your prayer life is only about making your life better while you're here, you need to go back and read the scripture again. If the only thing that you pray about is so that you can have a better life, then you're missing the whole point. You've missed the understanding, because most of what is prayed about in the scriptures actually outlives those who prayed those prayers. Many of the people who prayed the most powerful prayers in the scripture actually died before they saw the fulfillment of those prayers take place. They weren't just praying for themselves. They were praying for the generations to come, for their children and their grandchildren, and people that were far off that they would never even know. They prayed because they knew that they were creating opportunities that may not come in their lifetime, but the opportunity would surely come because it was true. And it, even if it took a long time, they were going to pray and be involved in that struggle to create opportunities from heaven to earth. So as you engage heaven with your prayer life, there are several things that I want you to understand. The first thing is this. The first principle that you need to understand is this, is that there is always more going on than what you think. Come on, somebody. There's always more going on than what you think. There's always more happening that you don't see. Look at verse 5 of Daniel chapter 10. I lifted my eyes and I looked. He's looking around. And behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. Not just an ordinary guy here. He's dressed to the hilt. He is a man of power, a man of prestige. And Daniel understands, I'm not just seeing the natural. Now I am looking into the supernatural. Now that is where prayer can take you. Did you know that, friends? You move from your eyes being physical to your eyes being spiritual. Everything that occurs in the physical first begins in the spiritual. I've taught that principle over and over. And Daniel begins to see, his eyes begin to see into the spiritual. Look at verse 12. And then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day," what day? "The first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God," listen, "your words were heard." You see, there's more going on than what you understand. There's more happening around you than what you see. Because Daniel had been praying for 21 days and nothing looked like physically that anything was happening. He wasn't feeling it. He wasn't seeing it. He wasn't noticing in it. But Daniel knows this. He knows that God has said this is true. He knows that it may take a while, and he is not struggling without purpose. He knows that his weight and his burden as a reason. And then he learns this principle that God is actually at work when he doesn't even see it. It's easy for us, friends, to go by how we feel, isn't it? So many times we live by our emotions and by our feelings. We come to church, and if we really have that charge, if we listen to the right song before we pull in the parking lot, or we heard another pastor on the radio and he gave us something, boy, we come in and we're ready to go. But then there are some Sundays when your hair's messed up, you barely tied your shoes, they're even on the wrong feet. You're just lucky to get here, and you're thinking, man, I just don't feel like it today. I don't feel like praying. There's been times in the morning when I have my prayer time that I can be honest, as your pastor, I did not feel it at all. I didn't even want to pray. Can I confess that? I didn't even want. I'd rather just turn the TV on or slept or ate. It's my pastime. I didn't even want to do it. But you know, if my prayer life depended upon my emotional status, I wouldn't be very much of a prayer person. If my prayer life has to be, well, I've got to feel it in order to believe it, I wouldn't be much of a man of faith. If I had to say every time, the only reason why I keep praying nothing's happening is because I know that God is doing more than I can see, then that's exactly the principle I need to live by, because there is more at work. Some of you have been praying about things for a long, long, long time. I want to assure your faith this morning and encourage you, there's more happening than what you see. There's more occurring right now than what you understand. The second thing I want you to just take from this is this. Your prayers matter more than you realize. Look at verse 12 again. He says, from the first day that I heard you, I heard your words. But look at the rest of that verse. And I have come, why? Because God sent me? Why did he say, and I have come? Why? Because of your words. Now, just stop right there, because I'm going to stick a stick in your spoke. Why did you come? God must have spoken to you and sent you. No, I came, Daniel, because of your words. Now, I'm going to teach you something that's so important. What if Daniel had not prayed? What if Daniel had not set his face toward heaven to create an opportunity on earth? You see, what happens when we pray is we move heaven into action, and heaven begins to enact God's will on earth. Of course, Pastor, we understand that. But this scripture makes it very vivid that it wasn't God's words, it was Daniel's words. Now, let me teach you something. God has set forth a system of authority. There is a system of authority that God has established. And He has designed this not just in heavenly realms, but He has designed it in earthly realms as well. Now, what happens when those in authority fail to act and they sit and do nothing? What do we have? If you say the U.S. Congress, that's about right, but that's not who I'm talking about. What do we have? If we have that, we have a world that fails to see God's will accomplished because the authority that God had set on earth is not creating the opportunities for God's will to be done on earth. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 tells us that every soul to be subject to governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Everything is placed in authority according to God's will. And then over in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus says this. He said, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. And notice this phrase, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You see, without prayer, you will not see the will of God accomplished in your life. Are you hearing me, friends? You are the authority that God has set forth on this earth. It's by your words, Daniel. I don't know if we realize as believers the role that we play in seeing God's will accomplished in our life, in our nation, in the world. I don't know if we as fathers or mothers realize the role that God has placed us in God's will being accomplished in the lives of our family and our children. Are you hearing me? God has set you as the authority to create the opportunities for His will to be done in your children, in the life of your friends, in the people around you, in the church. There is a very important thing that prayer does, and it matters so much more than you realize, because without your prayers, the will of God will be hindered. Why? Does God Can he not do it? He can do it however he wants to do it. But he chooses to use you because he has placed you as authority. The third principle I want you to see is this, that it usually takes longer than we prefer. We know that, don't we? All of you, I know, are not patient people. And if you've known me very long, you know that I fall into that category as well. Daniel had prayed for 21 days, and then the angel shows up. Now, I've just got a question. Either this was the slowest angel that God could find in heaven. Daniel's praying, okay, I'll get right on that. I'll be there 21 days. Or this angel was directionally challenged, and he got lost somewhere between heaven and earth. I mean, can you imagine? Daniel's like, I'm praying, and this is the guy they sent? It took him 21 days to get here? Look at verse 13. His explanation is informative to us. It says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. You see, we have the New Testament now that explains some things. We have the New Testament in Paul's writings in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, that says that we once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in sons of disobedience. We know that there is a formidable spiritual foe that opposes our life and that lives and as the ruler of the powers of the air. We also know Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 6 that informs us that we wrestle against principalities and against powers and against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We understand that there is a challenge that goes forth. And because of those challenges, sometimes our prayers get delayed. It's not the lack of power in heaven. It is that there is a challenge that must be first met. You don't set up a victory parade until you have dealt completely with the enemy. God could establish whatever He wanted in the nation of Persia, but He wanted to completely dethrone the powers of darkness that sat upon the kingdoms of Persia before He introduced His will to be done. Some of you right now, you are praying down authority powers that have set themselves up spiritually in front of you before God is going to set up the new throne of Himself over the wills that to be done in your life. God is tearing things down. He's tearing down strongholds, and you don't just tear down a stronghold overnight. The siege ramps, they would build large siege things, and they would be ramparts. And you know what a rampart is? A huge mound of dirt. 2 or 3 years ago, I think I almost gave my son a heart attack, him and one of his football friends. I had 2 dump truck loads of dirt hauled into my driveway. 20 plus yards of dirt sitting in my driveway. Now, if you don't know how much a yard of dirt is, imagine these big, huge dump trucks totally full. I had 2 of those dumped in my driveway. Shannon's like, we got to get rid of this dirt. And I said, I know how. I've got some strong boys. And I've got a wheelbarrow and some shovels. Now, you can lift weights in a weight room, but if you want to get man strong, you get on the wrong end of a shovel. Come on, Dan, you know what I'm talking about. You get on the wrong end of a shovel, and you grab a wheelbarrow, and you start pushing dirt around. We moved all that dirt, just a shovel load at a time. It took us a while. It took so long that my HOA sent me a letter and said, hey, you got to get rid of that dirt. We were moving dirt. We had to change places. In order for us to recover the driveway, we had to dethrone the dirt and put it where it belonged, out back. And that's exactly what happens. That's why sometimes you've been praying for things for so long and you don't feel like that you're accomplishing anything. Actually, you're tearing things down before God's going to build it all up in your life. Does that make sense? You're tearing principalities down that have been established in your life against you. You're destroying completely. And here's the deal. Christ comes in and heavenly authority comes in, but it only does that when all of the principalities of darkness have been dealt with and completely moved, utterly destroyed. So your prayers usually take longer than you like. And then number four, it requires more intensity than we understand. After 21 days of prayer, reinforcements came. Look at verse 13. It says, "Behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me." This archangel, this warring angel, Gabriel, the announcing angel. Now we have Michael, this warring angel. He comes to help. And he says, "For I had been left alone there with the king of Persia." That battle was taking place in the heavenlies. Daniel didn't see it. Then he understood it as the angel told him. And even when Daniel said, "I don't feel like anything's happening, actually there was a major conflict that was occurring and the archangel got involved. And so what does the angel say? Look at verse 12. He says, those words are important. So keep praying those words. It's because of your words it's because of what you're praying. So let me just say this. Sometimes as you pray and you're trying to get through something, understand that the intensity may get to where you want to just stop, but keep praying those words because what you are praying is actually affecting the war that's taking place in the heavenly realms. The power of prayer comes from the authority of heaven when it unites with the authority that God has established on earth. You got to catch that. God has given you the authority to tear down the princes of power that stand against His will to be done. And when His reinforcements arrive, you know it, don't you? You know it. And lastly, it's important that you don't quit. Look at verse 20. He said, "Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. But when I have gone forth, indeed," notice this, "the prince of Greece will come." Now in the scope of all this story, you have to understand something. God is actually about to change something. It's not just a small thing. God is about to change something on a global scale. God is about to rework the empires of the world. The battle that was fought would be fought in the spiritual realm, but when it was over with, what is going to happen? The Persian Empire would fall and the Greek Empire would rise. Now, why is that such a big deal? Why is that important? It's because the Greek language is the most perfect language that has ever been known to mankind. The Greek language is so precise. It's so articulate. It's hard to distort the meaning of words in the Greek language because they are so specific. When we say things in English like, "I love that pizza," "I love my car," "I love my..." all has a different type of meaning, love. But in the Greek language, that is very specific of how it directs those words. And it's that Greek language that the first versions of the Bible were introduced. It's the Greek language that Jesus was able to come at that perfect time when the world was under the domain of the Greek Empire, and the Greek language spread around. That way the words that Jesus could speak were those words that were perfect and precise. That's why we can alliterate His words and we can understand His words textually, because the specificity of His words were precise. They were dealt with very articulately. And it's because of that Greek language. But after that conflict, it was years before Jesus arrived on the scene, that Daniel prayed that prayer. Guess what? Daniel never spoke the Greek language. He never even saw it written. But Daniel prayed a prayer that actually changed the geography and the geopolitical system of the world. You can't quit. You can't give up. You have to keep praying. Because what you're doing is going to change something down the road for somebody else. I'll never stop praying for my family. I'll never stop praying for this church. Because no matter where we think we are today, we know what God has spoken to be true. We know that it may take a long time in coming. And we know that there may be a struggle. God, I'm just tired of praying this prayer. I'm praying it over and over again. But God, because I know it's true, and I know and I'm aware that it may take longer than what I think, I won't quit, because I'll stay in the fight, because I don't know exactly how you're going to work it out, but I do know that you are going to work it out. And my prayer matters. My prayer today matters. You have set me as authority, and I am going to stand my place and not sit down and relinquish my authority to somebody else. I'm going to create a heavenly opportunity on earth by speaking the words in prayer. That's what God wants you to do. He wants your life to be transformed. When you come and pray, or when you kneel and pray, you're not just mumbling a bunch of words. You are setting and creating opportunities for God's will to be accomplished in your life, in your children's life, in this church's life, in this community's life, in our nation, in this world. That's what happens. That's what we did today. As we prayed for healing, we said, Lord, the authority of heaven has an opportunity to be accomplished on earth. We open it up, Lord. We speak healing over these folks. And God accomplishes His will. I thought about how I'd close today. I know we're running a little bit long, but here's what I want to do. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand, and you're going to see a map on the screen of our city. And as you see that map, what I want you to do is, if you see can we go ahead and get that map, Juanita? I know it's kind of hard to see. I don't know how well you can see that. That's the center of Denton. That's the square right in the middle. And I know the colors are kind of hard to tell. But if you live in that red shaded area, all the way out Crum, that northwest quadrant of Denton. So we're going to do it by the map. I want you to do something, and when I have you stand, I want you to move. If you're in that red area, I want you to move to this altar area right here. We're going to do this before. We're just going to pray, and we're going to dismiss. If you live in the blue area, okay, I want you to go to that back corner over there. Okay. I know you can't tell on this screen, but there is a green area, and it will be right here. Okay, the bottom left. And then the yellow area back over there. So basically, northwest, northeast, southwest, southeast. Whatever area that you may live in, I want you to go stand there. As we stand, I want you to go represent that part of this city. All right? Let's all stand together. If you live on the line and you can't tell what color that is, just pick one. It's fine. That's a little better. Wayne and Lois, you'll be back wherever my kids are. That's where you're going to be. Yep, you guys. Yeah, y'all come on up this way. If you're, yeah, yeah, Dan, you guys are good. If you want to sit, you can sit. That's fine. Just well, it's like herding cats, you know? I mean, you just kind of. I know. Blame it on the map. Blame it on the map. There's a divide occurring. We're discussing the lines, right? Okay. All right. We got it. Here's what I'd like for us to do as we dismiss today as a church. We, as God's people, must create heavenly opportunities here on earth. Here's what I'm going to ask from today, from this Sunday forward. I want you to look, know your area. I want you to begin to pray for God's will to be done in your section of our county, really. I want you to pray several things, and here's the things that I want you to pray. For lost people, I want you to pray 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4. That says the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. I want you to begin to pray this morning for eyes to be opened. There are a lot of blind people in our community. So can I lead you in just a few prayers this morning? Can we do that right now? Would you pray right now for eyes to be opened in your part of the city right now? Father, we come to you right now asking that, Lord, that you would open the eyes of those, Lord, who have been blinded by the spirit of this world. Lord, by the God of this age who has blinded their minds, Lord. Some of them, Lord, they want nothing to do with you. Others, Lord, their eyes have just never been opened to the truth of the gospel. Right now, we ask that you would open their eyes, Lord. Every person, Lord, from children all the way to senior adults, Lord, open their eyes, Lord, in every neighborhood across this city and this county, that you would open their eyes to see the truth of the gospel. Secondly, I want you to pray this. I want you to pray transformational change in their life. Galatians 4:19. Paul says, my children, for whom I am again and again in the pains of childbirth, I pray until Christ is formed in you. I want to pray that we would have that intensity, that I'll just keep praying just like a mother giving birth until I see transformation come in somebody's life. You know what? We have to hold on to somebody because we got to keep pressing until we see their life changed. Amen? Not just making converts, not just getting somebody in the church. I want to do what the Bible says, and that's make disciples. I want Christians that are half inch deep and 2 miles wide. We want Christians who are depth, who have depth to their life, who can sustain the winds of this world and culture. Pray with me right now that God would transform lives in a deep way. Right now, Father, we come to you asking that, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to prevail, Lord, to travail in prayer so that we might see disciples made. Lord, we ask that, Lord, that you would take nominal, Lord, carnal Christians, Lord, those who, Lord, may attend a church or may attend even this church. And Lord, that God, that you would give them a desire, a passion to know you more than anything in this life. That God, their greatest desire would be, Lord, to know you above all else. Father, I pray that God, that you would, Lord, let those, Lord, who call themselves believers, Lord, not ruin the testimony of Jesus Christ by living in such a way that, Lord, is offensive to the Holy Spirit. I pray, oh God, that you would take, Lord, believers and that you would light a fire in their heart. Lord, baptize them in the Holy Spirit that they may be transformed into something that, Lord, is more than just a person who claims Christianity, but a person who changes the world around them by the power of Jesus Christ. Lord, transform, Lord, the churches in every area so that, Lord, they're not just, Lord, reading something that, Lord, they heard, Lord God, or something out of a text with no power, but may they speak the name of the Lord boldly so that our city and our community and our nation can be changed in Jesus' name. Finally, let's pray this prayer. And this goes for everybody. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, he says, "For those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive." Can we pray this, not just for the people in those areas, but for those of you who are standing in those areas? Can we pray that God would soften our hearts? Would you pray that prayer over you too? God, soften my heart. It's easy for you to live life and to get so busy with work and your own agenda that your heart gets calloused to the things of God. Can we ask the Lord to soften our hearts so that He can speak clearly to us? Join with me in prayer as we close today. Father, I pray that, Lord Jesus, every person, Lord, in this room would allow the Holy Spirit to just tenderize us. Let us be moved by Your presence, Lord, when You are near. Let our minds, Lord God, be open to the things that You want us to accomplish. Lord, I pray that, Lord Jesus, that You would speak, Lord, and that we would be able to receive it because our ears are open, Lord, that we're not, Lord, kept from hearing, that, Lord God, our own agendas don't get in the way, that, Lord, that our desires don't get in the way, but our desires become Your desires. Soften our hearts. Soften us, Lord, so that You might let Your will be accomplished in us.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.